This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. India has dispatched a senior envoy across the border to Kathmandu, the Nepalese capital, to meet with the country's embattled king. 2 weeks of protests against the monarch have plunged Nepal into crisis, and there's increasing international pressure for the king to surrender the absolute power he seized 15 months ago and restore multi-party democracy. NPR's Philip Reeves reports from Kathmandu.
Amid a city of temples and alleyways, the king's palace stands out on the landscape like a fortress. The monarch within is a man under siege. Gyanendra seized absolute power early last year, sacking the prime minister and his government because he said they failed to tackle a rebellion by Maoist insurgents in which thousands have died. Since then, thousands of his opponents have been jailed. Pressure to give up direct rule is coming from many quarters, from the country's political parties, Maoist insurgents, human rights groups, the United States, Europe, and his giant neighbour, India. Yet his opponents aren't certain how he'll respond. Arjun Kaki, head of an umbrella group of Nepali non-governmental organisations, has met the king several times.
He doesn't listen to anybody. From the very beginning, publicly, he told us that, I'm not like my brother. I have my own roadmap, and I want to implement this. And many people think that he was planning this for a long time.
The brother is King Birendra. Nearly 5 years ago, Birendra and much of the rest of the royal family was murdered by his own son, the crown prince, who, in a drunken rage, then killed himself. As next in line, Gyanendra, a businessman with interests in tobacco, tourism and gambling, stepped in and donned the crown of peacock feathers. Since then, Nepalese have been trying to figure out the monarch. Arjun Kaki again.
It is very difficult to predict the king's mentality at this moment because it's not only me, but everybody who met king very recently say that they failed to understand his mindset. But the kind of movement going on at this moment is qualitatively and quantitatively different than that used to be in the past.
Not so long ago, a crowd chanting slogans against a Nepali king would have been unimaginable. Nepal's exotic monarchs were revered and considered by some as incarnations of a Hindu deity. But now Gyanendra's critics, including Kaki, speak out with increasing boldness.
Every section of Nepali societies are against the king's rule at this moment. Forget about others, human rights defenders, civil society, political party, but also civil servant. Started to really demonstrate against the king's rule.
The king says he has a roadmap for restoring a constitutional monarchy and wants to hold elections. But Subodh Pyakaral, a leading human rights activist, says the king's opponents don't accept this plan.
The essence of that roadmap is to hold election, then to form the parliament. Very simple. But the question is that, whether his regime is constitutional or not. If unconstitutional regime holds the election, how can be the byproduct constitutional?
Sher Bahadas Joba, the prime minister sacked by the king last year, doesn't believe in the roadmap either. He was recently released after 9 months in detention. He believes the king has no desire to create a genuine democracy.
I don't think so.
And Joba says he knows what that means.
More struggle, more crisis, more defiance.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, Kathmandu.